Good evening, everyone. You're listening to CITR at 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Intersections, CITR's biweekly radio show about feminism, gender empowerment, and bringing down the patriarchy, all of which are in a day's work for the small but powerful team here at CITR. We air every other Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., so make sure you tune in then for some woke conversations and content. This is Lakshmi.
And Lily.
And we have a very special guest in the studio with us right now. She's a Swedish-Canadian singer-songwriter. And with her strong songs, powerful guitar chops, and captivating voice, she's become a rising star in the Canadian folk music scene, collected multiple awards, and played major Canadian and international festivals, and shared the stage with artists like Cat Empire, Tallest Man on Earth, and Passenger. 24 Hours Vancouver called her one of the most promising exports out of Sweden since ABBA. And the magazine Roots Time in Belgium called her one of the greatest talents of our era. It's none other than Sarah McDougall. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've been all over the place touring for your latest album, All the Hours I Have Left to Tell You Anything. What's that been like?
Longest title ever. Yeah. Regretting that now. It's been good. Yeah, I started in Ontario. And then this last leg was to Western Canada, ending in Vancouver.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And when was your last tour before this one?
Ontario.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah. So did you like playing in Vancouver?
How was that? I did. Yeah, it was great. I played at St. James Hall. Mm-hmm. And it was a good night. Great night. Yeah.
Do you notice, like, touring across Canada, any, like, real variety in like how the crowd feels and that kind of thing, and like city to city, is there a different vibe or is it all like similar?
It's all similar, but it kind of depends like if I've been there before. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's like repeat people and mm-hmm. Yeah, if they've played it on the radio a bunch, like more people will come.
And, yeah, you know,
and like sing along, so. Maybe.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
So good.
And so I was looking at your tour dates, and it's obviously like tightly packed. Like, how do you kind of depressurize when you're touring?
I try to sleep as much as I can, which is not very much, mm-hmm. and I try to eat healthy, stay healthy, and do stretching and you know, I usually get my own hotel room so that I can mm-hmm. kind of chill out. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. But a lot of shows on this tour, we had breakfast TV in the morning, and so we'd, you know, even one time we had to drive 3 hours and then do breakfast TV, so we had to leave the hotel at 4 a.m.
Oh my god.
So there were quite a few of those, and then we had a show every night, so it was hectic.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Do you ever get sick? Like, does it all the lack of sleep and stuff affect your voice or anything?
It doesn't, which is, I'm very lucky, because it does for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I rarely get sick, mm-hmm. so I'm lucky that way, but yeah, never say never.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not jinx it.
I just get tired.
Yeah.
Now going back to your latest album with the longest title.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration behind it?
Life. I think a lot of big things happen in my life. So like both my grandparents died within a very short time. My niece and nephew were both born, and I think I was just thinking a lot about big subjects like life and death, and sort of looking at life from above in a way, and trying to get perspective.
Mm-hmm. And when you were writing these songs, I mean, were you sort of moving around between Sweden and I believe Yukon? That's also mm-hmm. where one of your houses.
Yeah.
Is Yukon and then Ontario. You're like all over the place.
Yes.
And I guess I'm just curious if kind of geographically, if living in those three different areas kind of affected your music as well.
Definitely. I think especially the Yukon, because of the nature there, I find it extremely inspiring. And I also got to do a few helicopter rides in the last couple of years.
Cool.
Where I, like, we'd fly over the glacier and fly over Whitehorse, and you know, you'd see like herds of caribou, and just you realize like how tiny you are and the vastness of this country and nature, and so looking out at that, I had this moment where I was like, well, I want to actually like write a record that kind of sounds like what I'm feeling right now when I'm looking out.
Mm. Can I ask why Yukon?
I kind of moved there by mistake. I went on tour and then I got stuck, like a lot of other people do there, because it's a bit of a magical place, and it just was the right time in my life where I was living in Vancouver and went up on tour, and then someone offered me, you know, a cabin in the woods to house it for a bit, and then I got offered a really good paying job and flexible where I could still tour, and then you know, suddenly you've been there for a few years, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a 3-year break between your 2015 album and this most recent one. Were you kind of like working on the newest one throughout those 3 years, or how did that kind of
I was, happen? Yeah. I was touring a lot, so I was, I can't really finish songs when I'm touring, so yeah. I was like writing all these fragments and gathering ideas and... And I'd say the most intensive work on the record was in the year before I recorded it, where I like finished up the songs and really took the time to like sit down.
Yeah. So you were really thinking of working on it as a body of work. You knew it was going to be an album. It wasn't just like writing songs here and there throughout.
Yep.
It was.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was definitely curious about your kind of creative, like your writing process, if you kind of carry a notebook around with you and just jot down, you know, lyrics as inspiration hits. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I do. A lot of the time my notebook becomes like other things, though, where I start writing down other stuff, like lists and stuff.
Yeah.
So then,
like related
then
to
I
music?
Have to change
groceries.
It.
Groceries.
Oh, yeah. No, must buy bread.
Yeah.
But I always carry a notebook, and then I also do voice memo. Mm-hmm. On my phone, and I also use notes on my phone, so I write down lyrics there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
cool. And now I guess kind of like, you know, blowing it up to like the larger scheme of things. I mean, how did you like get into music? Was it always a calling for you?
Well, I started playing the organ when I was 7, and I was always really into music, but. Mm-hmm. The organ wasn't really, it didn't feel like the right thing. It was also like, you know, an 80-year-old teacher and everyone else was like playing accordion and it just wasn't very cool. But I learned my first musical skills there. And then when I was 11, I convinced my mom to lend me her guitar that I found in the attic. And I started taking guitar lessons. And after about a year, my guitar teacher convinced my dad to buy me a guitar that could actually be tuned, because that one couldn't.
Nice.
And I just loved the guitar, and I started writing songs right away. And I was just really into songs from a really early age, like more so than, you know, like learning scales or techniques or anything like that. I was like, I wanted to write songs, and right away I was like, I'm gonna produce music, and I saved up to buy a little portable studio thing and started recording.
Mm-hmm. And were your parents like super excited and supportive?
I think, maybe not super excited. They didn't really see my talent back then. I had to work on it for a while. They didn't like believe that I could make a living as a musician. Mm-hmm. So like I just remember being like, Dad, I'm gonna be a music producer, and he's like, ha ha, yeah, sure, you know.
Yeah. Was like listening to music a big part of your childhood, or like how did you kind of get into that side of your influences, I guess?
Well, my dad listened to a lot of music. Always had music in the car. And my parents also had a lot of vinyls that I got into pretty early.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, record the charts on the radio. I used to record them onto tape and stuff like
wow.
that.
Wow.
So yeah,
original DJ.
Yep.
Sarah, I'm curious, how do you find the performative aspect of music?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, especially in front of large crowds, versus like the creative process? Do you prefer one over the other?
I don't, because I mean, I always before thought that I would just be a songwriter and not a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started touring and I realized that I actually really enjoyed performing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like it's like 50-50 for me. I mm-hmm. really love performing and I love writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever get nervous?
Sure.
Like before?
Oh, every time.
Performing? Yeah.
Yeah, I always get nervous.
Okay.
But like, yeah. I guess once you're on stage, do you find that you're kind of now in like a totally different headspace?
Usually I try to kind of channel myself into that. Sometimes it takes like a little while until I fully feel in it. But I usually am more nervous beforehand and I get really cold. I need to pee like 5 times before I go on stage.
Yeah. Do you have any like current favorite artists you're listening to or like favorite musicians lately?
Yeah. What am I listening to right now? I love John Grant. Okay. Do you know John Grant?
No.
He was just in Vancouver. He's an American guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's gay. He's from the States, but he lives in Iceland.
Oh, okay.
And you should really check out his music.
He's
just a really fun songwriter. He also blends like a lot of synths and like acoustic guitars, kind
mm-hmm.
of like what I like to do.
Yeah.
Cool. I love his stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that you were, when I was looking at your Instagram, you're following King Princess, who I love.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
You kind of look like her.
Oh, thanks.
And, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, and also Gregory Alan Isakov.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a huge fan. Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think we should do? I think we should play a song from your latest album.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play We Are Fire first. All right, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is weird. We're currently having technical difficulties, so we're going to play an ad and get back to you guys. Stay tuned, everyone.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
The BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
Hello, everyone. You're still tuned to Intersections on CITR at 101.9 FM. Sorry for that small technical difficulty. We are back and we will be playing We Are Fire from Sarah McDougall's latest album. Here it is. That was We Are Fire by Sarah McDougall from her latest album. We're going to play one more for you guys. It's called Empire. Stay tuned.
There's a gray wolf on the mountain. You can feel her as she swallows all the secrets you buried in the deep. There's a black sky in the dark, cold, and it's stressed out with dancing white gold, and it's circling through the night and straight into me. And we destroyed it.
So that was Empire. So Sarah, the two songs that I played, Empire and We Are Fire, I've noticed that there's like a fair bit of, for lack of a better word, wilderness in your latest work. And wolves, for example, seem to feature as quite evocative imageries. And I was just curious, like, what do wolves represent to you?
Something wild and free, old, wise, north, cold.
Is it safe to say that kind of the time you spent and do spend in Yukon is kind of responsible for that kind of an imagery? Because you have a lot of wolves in Yukon.
Yeah. I actually have a wolf story. I was staying in this cabin about an hour outside of Whitehorse, and one morning I got into my car and it was like pitch black outside, and I turned the car on, and like right in front of me there's a wolf eating a husky. I didn't know it was a husky. I just saw it was like an animal at that point. Mm-hmm. And I was just like shaking, and it was like 6 a.m. and I drove into town, and then all day I was like, did I hallucinate? I'm not sure. Like, and then later on I went back, and all I saw was like these two hind legs and a tail. Mm-hmm. And I think that wolf like really stuck in my mind, because it just made it so real how wild it is up there, you know, and how we are the intruders, and like it's actually the wolf's country up there, not ours, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of beautiful. Yeah. Kind of scary, but really beautiful. Yeah. At the same time.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a wolf. I think they're a lot bigger than I think of them. I think of them and like dogs. Yeah. Like little. Yeah.
I was in Banff and Jasper.
A really big dog.
Yeah. Terrifying big dog. Yeah. I was in Banff and Jasper over the Christmas break, and we went on this like this wildlife safari kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we just ended up seeing like a bunch of caribou and like one coyote. But yeah. I was like mm-hmm. so looking forward to seeing a wolf, but course they're
it's really rare to see a wolf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like even, you know, living in the Yukon, I think I've only seen like two.
Wow.
And I, you know, I go on walks all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're around.
That just makes them more fantastic.
They don't want to see people very much.
They're elusive.
Yeah.
It's kind of on an unrelated note, sure. But we noticed that your 2015 album included a Swedish song, but the second one does not. And we were just kind of wondering, like, was there a reason for that? Are you more comfortable writing songs or singing in English, or is it just like?
No, I actually haven't thought about that since, mm-hmm. like until now.
Yeah.
I think it's because I just haven't spent that much time in Sweden in the last few years.
Yeah.
And when I go there, I start thinking more in Swedish. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really a conscious choice not to, because mm-hmm. honestly, like, my Swedish song is everyone's favorite from Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So if I was smart, I probably should have written another one. But at some point, I'm planning to make or write a Swedish record. Mm-hmm. It just sort of depends on where I'm at and, mm-hmm. you know, where my brain is at, I guess.
Yeah. Was that your first language?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, like, my dad's Canadian, my mom's Swedish, so mm-hmm. I spoke both languages, like, right away, basically.
Yeah.
How does that affect, like, the songwriting process? Do you feel like you're kind of translating sometimes from one language to the other? Because I imagine the Swedish language has certain words for mm-hmm. certain emotions that don't directly translate to English. Do you ever find that you struggle with that?
I don't think that I like think of a word in Swedish and then I'm like, oh, how do I say that in mm-hmm. English mm-hmm. per mm-hmm. se? But I think sometimes I might have a phrase that I just like freely translate into English. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone who speaks English might be like, oh, that's like a unique way of saying that. But to me, it just like makes total sense or, you know, feels natural. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know. I think Swedish is like in a way a deeper language for me, mm-hmm. where it's like really in my soul and in my bones because I grew up there. And so whenever I hear songs in Swedish or, you know, sing in Swedish, it does feel a little bit deeper than English for me, mm-hmm. for some reason.
On that note, I feel like we should play that one Swedish song that she has for sure.
Yeah.
So this is from your 2015 album, Grand Canyon, and it's called, I can only pronounce the first word of this, Malmö I mitt hjärta?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a terrible attempt. Sorry, everyone.
It started good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm. kvar är svår. Du var aldrig lätt. Du var ful i ljuset, men ändå vacker på något sätt.
Mal mi mi tierra.
So that was
Malmö Imitjärta.
Excellent. I could not
sounds
attempt
so beautiful.
That. So that's from your 2015 album, Grand Canyon. And for those who are just tuning in, we are Intersections at 101.9 FM from CITR Radio. So
yeah. So obviously we can't really understand the lyrics of that song, because we don't speak Swedish, unfortunately. But I did read the English translation, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the lyrics, sure. Especially the line, like, we are not allowed to be different, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Like, what is the song about, kind of, as a whole?
It's kind of... it's about my experience of growing up in Malmö, mm-hmm. and in Sweden. Mm-hmm. Sort of written from the perspective of having left and looking back at it. Mm-hmm. And... the we are not allowed to be different is kind of a reference to, there's this thing in Sweden called Jantelagen, mm-hmm. Which means that basically everyone is the same and you're not allowed to stick out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're allowed, but it's like an unspoken societal mm-hmm. rule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you go to Sweden, you'll notice like everyone's like, wearing the same fashion, mm-hmm. everyone has the same decorations in their house, and
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's not a braggy society, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not supposed to stick out very much. It's mm-hmm. like kind of a, it's not socialist, but it has that influence,
uniform. Yeah,
so I think that's what I'm kind of referring to there.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Did you did you struggle with that, I guess, like growing up with, like, did you ever feel like you wanted to kind of step out more and like
yeah, I think I did mm-hmm. stick out in high
yeah.
school because I was definitely like a bit of a black sheep in my high school class, mm-hmm. and yeah, I always, you know, noticed it when I'd go travel somewhere and then I'd come back and it just would become so clear to me that just how the society had these very strict rules and mm-hmm. you know, are not supposed to like say hello to a stranger, or
yeah,
that was actually one of the things that really attracted me to Canada when I first got here. It was like I came to visit a friend in actually went to Victoria to visit a friend, and we'd go to stores and she'd be like asking people in the store, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Which is normal here.
Yeah.
But that's not normal at all in Sweden. So yeah. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's like asking a stranger and they're having
people.
Like a conversation. Like yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Wow.
Yeah. So kind of along those lines, I guess, I was curious about like being in the music industry and being mm-hmm. a performer in general. So kind of like, I guess, in the public eye. Do you ever feel pressure to, like, perform to certain, like, gender standards or, like, societal norms
mm-hmm.
because you're in this position in which you have to, like, brand yourself
mm-hmm.
and promote yourself? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I think especially, like, with photos, those kinds of things
mm-hmm.
where, like, you have a team mm-hmm. and they're trying to sell you, and like I had an agent be like, oh, you know, we need more like sexy photos of you.
Yeah.
And I felt really uncomfortable and I sort of went with it, but
mm-hmm.
but then regretted it, right? And
mm-hmm.
and yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, you have to fit into a certain thing. And for me it was interesting because I constantly, you know, get compared to like Joni Mitchell or
mm-hmm.
you know, like
mm-hmm.
other female songwriters that don't sound anything like me, who I love, but like that didn't necessarily influence me.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it was very strange that like, okay, so I sound like way more like Bruce Springsteen or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But somehow I'm still always just getting compared to I mean, not just, but mm-hmm. I'm just an example, like yeah. Joni Mitchell, or like the kind of folk music that my voice is very different from.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it's funny how you're like, you're really put into this box that you're supposed to be mm-hmm. in, and it's really hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of answered my next question, because mm-hmm. I was going to say, I mean, you've been pretty open, well, if social media is anything to go by,
sure.
about being gender fluid. And I was going to ask how that affects your music, if it mm-hmm. affects it at all. And I think you sort of answered that, at least in terms of how you're being kind of marketed mm-hmm. to an audience.
Yeah. I kind of made the conscious choice of like, being like, actually, you know, I don't want to fit into that box mm-hmm. and I don't feel like it's right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the term gender fluid is just what felt the best mm-hmm. In terms of who I feel like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I lost my thread.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
What is it like in Sweden to mm-hmm. kind of to be proud of that part of your identity? Is that something that's, because you just talked a while
yeah.
back about how
sure.
it's kind of all uniform,
mm-hmm.
or is that something that you can really openly talk about? Or
absolutely, I think Sweden's like very progressive mm-hmm. when it comes to that kind of stuff, and you know, there's a separate word for a gender, like non-binary person, so
mm-hmm.
which is hen,
mm-hmm.
Instead of like how, you know, you use they here,
yeah.
Which, you know, can be a little weird in conversations. Hen is just, it's widely used by, you know, newspapers and journalists whenever they don't feel like it's necessary to, say the person's gender
mm-hmm.
and I think it's becoming more and more common in just regular conversation as well.
That's
although
so cool.
like it's always difficult to introduce
mm-hmm.
a new
mm-hmm.
word, but
mm-hmm.
it's been around now for at least 10 years.
That's really cool, because
wow.
that's yeah. something me and Lily were actually wondering about, if the Swedish language had like a different pronoun or just a
mm-hmm.
different word for that to accommodate that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. very cool.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So shall we play one more song?
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to hear Animal. That's another one of my favorites on mm-hmm. the record. And when I was listening to it, the thing I sort of noticed most about it was that it's very danceable.
Yeah.
And I was kind of wondering, is that something you keep in mind like during your writing process? Is like, will people want to move to this or like that kind of thing?
Actually, yeah. because... I don't know if you read this book by David Byrne, How Music Works.
No.
But he really made me think of that, because in one chapter he talks about how different venues influence how your music is. And then I was also thinking like how your music influenced which venues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I just made the choice. Well, first of all, like I've been way more into pop music and
mm-hmm.
and wanting to dance myself,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of just in that mind space and music place. But
mm-hmm.
I was also thinking that, you know, I don't want to be just stuck on the 1 p.m. Folk festival slot
sure,
forever. So you know, if people can dance and have fun, that's, you know, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, let's play Animal from All the Hours I Have Left to Tell You Anything.
Ooh.
Here we go.
Think of doing everything, everything. don't be cruel. Please tell me all the things you have inside. The world might end, don't wanna waste more time. I just want you to want to be mine. I just want you to wanna be.
That was Animal. Next up, we're going to play Baby I Know from the same album. Here we go.
Baby, I know. for most of your time. Forgiving everyone's faults again. Every day and every night. But the giver don't always get all the praise, all the applause. So the tiredness, it's in. It settles in your blood, baby, I know.
Welcome back, everyone. For those just tuning in, well, you tuned in too late. That was Baby I Know by Sarah McDougall from her latest album, All the Hours I Have Left to Tell You Anything.
Yeah, this song is definitely my favorite on this album. I like fell in love with it instantly. I also was really floored by the video for this one. So just for those of you who don't know, definitely look it up. But it's a series of line drawings sort of on a black background. And it looks like, to me, humans holding each other. Is that correct? And like, why did you choose that imagery for this song?
Sure. It is correct. It's kind of wrestlers fight,
okay,
dancing. I don't know what mm-hmm. they're doing, but mm-hmm. holding each other is a good word.
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting process because I was working with Chris Mills, who's this really incredible director from mm-hmm. Toronto. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a video for Empire. And then he said, well, my favorite song is Baby I Know. Mm-hmm. And I would like to do something for that one as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could just do like a quick performance video. Mm-hmm. So we recorded me just like singing it. And then he was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll do these line drawings of people holding each other on top of that. Mm-hmm. And then he sent that to me. And then I was like, actually, I just want the line drawings.
Yeah.
Because I think this song is so simple. Mm-hmm. And it's really stripped down. It's just me playing guitar and singing at the same time. Mm-hmm. And there's like no bells and whistles at all. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of mesmerizing in a way, and the video really, like, it's so simple and mesmerizing, and it just, to me, like, just fit perfectly with like the feeling that mm-hmm. I wanted. And so I emailed him and I was like, can we not have any of the filming? I just want your animation. And he's like, oh, I was hoping you'd ask me that.
Yeah.
So,
I
think we're both feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely enthralled with it. Like, you don't get bored because it always changes.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, oh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Kind of along those lines, how involved are you usually in the process of, like, making videos and also the visuals? Like, your website has a really good graphic on the homepage of, like, mountains mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you usually, like, do you find artists that you want to work with you, or do you, like, pitch kind of the idea? How does that work?
I always find the artists that I want to work with mm-hmm. And then I give them the song, and then mm-hmm. usually they will have an idea and we sort of work on it together. But for example, for Empire, that music video was all based on old footage of me as a kid. So it's all like Super 8 footage that my dad took. And then Chris, who worked on it with me, he had this idea of, you know, because I was telling him about flying over the Yukon and looking down and kind of how that song started that way. And so he was like, oh, it would be really cool if you're a pilot. And you were like, you know, we integrated that with the footage that I already had. And so it's, yeah, it's like a collaboration of ideas with him. But for example, for the We Are Fire video that's on my website with the mount, the animations of the mountains and stuff, that's a videographer from Seattle, Clyde Peterson, who I felt really would understand that song because he's non-binary and could really understand what that song is about. And I think did really... beautiful job of it. It's the same thing. It's like it's very simple but worked really well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we have unfortunately 2 minutes left before we're at an end. And quickly before before we go, I need to ask you, if you had a dream project, what would it be?
Oh man.
Really small, quick, concise question at the end of this.
Dream project. Well, so do I have like an unlimited budget or
and unlimited collaborators?
Okay, I think I would love to work with there's so many people. The National.
Yes.
I would love to collaborate with Bryce and Aaron Dessner, who write a lot of the stuff, the music of the National. And actually I would love to, because they were playing Lido Pimienta when we were coming in here, I'd love to collaborate with her. She's fucking awesome. Those would be the two I would choose.
I'm looking forward to that collab.
It better happen. You heard it here first, folks. So yeah, before we go, I mean, for our listeners, where can they find you next? What's next on the plate for you?
Next, I'm in Victoria with this show I'm doing with Ivan Coyote, who's a writer-storyteller from Vancouver. We're in Victoria. We're at the Metro Theatre for 2 nights on Thursday and Friday. And then I'm going to Italy and Europe, UK, Ireland.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Around the world.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so, so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Lily, do you have any parting words?
Follow Sarah on Instagram.
Yes. Yes. And please listen to her latest album, All the Hours I Have Left to Tell You Anything. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Intersections today. Remember, we air biweekly. That's every other week, every other Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Have a wonderful evening. This is Lakshmi.
Lily.
Sarah.
Signing off for now. Be kind to each other, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
If you're one of the millions of Canadians who experience depression, anxiety, or some other form of mental illness, there's a free course that can help. The Wellness